This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
After the holidays, a little cash goes a long way. The Chime checking account has tons of benefits to help, like fee-free overdraft up to $200 for eligible members, no monthly fees, and thousands of fee-free ATMs. You can even get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. Sign up for Chime today at chime.com/goals24.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Spot me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. Access to direct deposits up to 2 days early depends on the timing of the submission of the payment file from the payer.
Hey, this is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Wednesday, November 2nd. The Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Jason Moore, present and accounted for.
Yes, sir.
Mike, the Fantasy Hitman.
Hello.
Black shirt, white hat, Cadillac.
Very good reference.
I'm Andy Holloway. Welcome in. Deucer's alley is full.
About to time bomb.
Thank you. The Borgogan, the judge, and Mr. Borland. Big show today. Trade deadline yesterday in the NFL. Looking like...
Oh, man.
Looking like fantasy football trade deadlines.
Got spicy.
It was pretty fun. We were refreshing often. On the countdown to the deadline.
I mean, like, would you call refreshing every, I don't know, 5 to 10 seconds often?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty often.
Okay, I'm just checking.
But
you put $5 out into the ether for whoever breaks the news first because we were so thirsty.
We were thirsty.
We were thirsty fellas.
and the problem was, the more news that came out, oh, we were not grateful. Oh, we were not satisfied. It just made us say, what's the next one?
Well, part of that was Mike was
I had one that I really needed to hear.
You wanted to see Kareem Hunt moved, and we don't get to talk about that today.
For, I mean, just 100% selfish reasons that he's on my team, and should he have been traded, his value would have gone up from where it is now.
Yeah, so we'll talk through all the trades. We have Ride or Die on the show, some mailbag. We also have let's do this announcement at the top.
I was ready for the real horns.
I know. I saw it on there.
Instead, you got that.
No, we got Mike's horn. Foot Clan giveaway winners. We've been doing a giveaway over the last month, and the winners, I'd like to announce them. DJ Moore signed jersey goes to Gregory Martin.
That thing has gained value in the last 2 weeks, fellas.
A couple weeks ago, you didn't want that thing. Jalen Waddle signed jersey to Alec Carlone. Carlone?
Yep.
Carlone. Jalen Hurts signed jersey to David Halverson, and the virtual studio tour going out to Keegan. Is that Kipe?
I believe so.
Okay, yeah. Keegan Kipe, congratulations.
Yeah, good work, everybody.
We will no doubt put another giveaway together soon. Wanted to also announce the Megalobowl leader right now. Bodogs is 16-0.
with 1,330 points.
Was it Bodogs last week too? I think they overtook the Shark. Was,
yes. So playing against the league median, it makes for some impressive records at this point in the year. 16-0. Congrats. We'll be on Spotify Live as well today, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern.
It's time to party.
Did you forget that you're on Spotify Live, Mike?
Dude, we're at the point of the NFL season where I only know what day it is because the show opens and someone screams and goes, it's November 2nd. And I go, okay.
That's your calendar?
Yeah.
Makes sense. Let's do some ride or die.
Ride or Die, presented by Chevrolet.
I was 6 feet under last week.
Oh, yes, you were.
You guys both went 2 for 3, and I chose to opt out of the contest.
I should have gone 3 for 3, but Mike hoodwinked me and switched up his Alvin Kamara touchdown. And
is that why I switched?
Yeah, you switched to he was going to get it, and so I was on it. And then I switched back.
Yeah, you hoodwinked yourself, Jason. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Brooksy, how you doing today?
Doing great.
All right.
How are you guys?
Good. Yeah, we're doing pretty good. Pretty good. Just sitting here basking in the glow of that sign behind you.
Oh, man.
Does it emanate heat? I hope we got the one with the heat.
Oh.
Yeah, for sure. Make them sweat.
No heat.
You look like you're in like a 1989 arcade.
It's great.
That looks
fun. It's a great place to be.
Week 9 ride or die. What's our first prediction here, Brooksy?
All right, guys. We're starting with Mike's champion, Antonio Gibson.
Oh, wow. We're back to that, huh?
I did not say that. Former champion is still fine.
All right. Well, he got the start in Week 8, and now he's against the Vikings. Will he be a top 24 running back?
Yeah, I did. Look, my mind has been on this situation for a couple of reasons. One, I have Brian Robinson. I want to know if he's even startable. And the truth is I have no idea because I don't know what Ron Rivera is going to do. He changes his mind every 2 minutes. Gibson's been better. Gibson had more opportunities, but not as many more than I think people realized last week, snap count wise. It's pretty close.
Yeah, on the ground.
And they were in a pretty big game script situation where they were down the whole game. Look, is he a top 24 running back? Does he catch 6 passes?
He had 7 targets, 7 receptions last week, but only played 36% of the snaps. Like you were saying, Andy, wasn't super involved.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and ride. I'm gonna ride with Gibson this week.
This is by far the hardest.
They're playing Minnesota.
Minnesota's actually a pretty good run defense. Adjusted for schedule, they're top 10 over the last 6 weeks. They are the number 6. Most difficult matchup for running backs, and they've been playing really well. I wanted to easily
I thought
top 24. He got a touchdown last week, and that was really helpful. If he doesn't get a touchdown, he's not going to be. And then I remembered 6 teams are on bye.
Yeah,
and I'm like, even when he's been outside of it, he was the running back 25, the running back 27. You take 6 teams out, let's ride, baby.
Over the last month, he is seeing a 16% target share, which the attempts on the ground are not fantastic. You know, 3-5, 1 week of 10, but 7. So single digits at 3 of those 4 weeks. But the targets are just so valuable in pumping up those numbers. So I'm with Jason. Because of the 6 teams, that pushes me into the ride situation.
Okay. Top 20.
Oh, man.
I'm okay. Riding.
All right, I will change at top 20. I will die. Gotta pick one, Mike.
I will stand up for my former champion, so I will ride with him into the top 20.
Well, guys, I couldn't possibly get this next one right. In fact, you should know what to do just based on my answer. Kyle Pitts, Brooksy, what's the line?
We're setting the line at 8 fantasy points. And
oh,
half,
what a bar.
Half PPR.
Yeah. Well, here you go. I'm going to ride. I looked at this game as well. They're playing the Chargers. They're the 32nd ranked pass defense. Atlanta is. I think the negative game script, the need to throw the football a little bit more. I mean, these are the type of logical fallacies that I've fallen into with Kyle Pitts. I will go ahead and ride 8 fantasy points. So
I will die. I'm not going to ride.
As will
I. I'm not going to ride with Kyle Pitts. He does have three games now with eight or more fantasy points, but we are heading into week nine, so I will take the odds that are against him.
The last 2 weeks, so small sample, but do we have a trend here of 2 weeks ago, a 42% target share? This past week, a 32% target share. His routes run are actually going up in those 2 weeks. Could Arthur finally be removing his head from his anos and giving us Kyle Pitts targets? Probably not, but the 8-point line, I will ride with that.
And you're locked in. But to point out something you said 2 weeks ago, this looks like a good trend. He had a good target share 2 weeks ago. He finished that game with 2.4 fantasy points.
He also had, 13 attempts in that game?
Yeah, exactly.
With so 40%, the target share should be, you should be arrested if you use that with Atlanta.
40% of nothing is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
five. Five targets is not nothing.
Okay.
Five targets for Kyle Pitts. Should turn into
more than nine yards.
Yes. I like the over-under. I like them using him around the goal line, even the game before, right? So we had he's had a couple goal line touchdowns in the game before. They had that play that was replayed. He would have been another touchdown. Seems like they're at least designing inside the five plays for Kyle Pitts. But, of course, you know, I'm going to ride, but in the end I'll die. Geno Smith, Brooksy, what's the line here?
All right, guys. Well, Geno Smith get back to being a top 12 quarterback against the Cardinals?
Mm. No. I'm going to die this one.
Ooh.
I actually think the Arizona defense is a solid play here at home against Geno Smith and the Sea Chickens.
Oh, we're insulting them now.
Just this week.
The division leading.
On a personal level, I love what Geno Smith's doing. Arizona, they've been pretty good. They held him in check in Seattle. I'm going to go ahead and go with Dye on this one. I think it's going to be Walker that does the damage against the Cardinals, not necessarily Geno.
Yeah, I think that's what it really comes down to, is where do you see the touchdowns coming? Does it come on the ground? If you look over the last 6 weeks, though, Arizona Cardinals, they're top 10 against running backs. They're 24th against quarterbacks. With the, Tyler Lockett's been on the injury report, getting healthier and healthier. DK Metcalf was surprisingly back last week and looked
fine.
So I think with the weapons intact, I believe Geno Smith gets back to this line. I have him ranked as such, so I will ride.
Yeah, it's very interesting because over those last four games for the Cardinals, you know, if you schedule adjust the quarterback points that they're allowing, three of those games have been very positive for the opposing quarterback. The one shutdown was Geno Smith, and I feel like that was more of an outlier for the way that the Cardinals defense has been playing. It's a division game, so crazy things do happen, like, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals on paper, a far superior team than the Cleveland Browns, then just shellacked on Monday night. So strange stuff happens, but I will buy that Geno Smith will be top 12 this week.
Let's ride.
Mike's going to ride.
Or ride. Yes. Mike's going to ride. Yes, thank you. I'm going to ride.
I'm
going to
die. And then that was Ride or Die, presented by Chevy Silverado. Learn more about Chevy Silverado at Chevy.com.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Can I ask you just a random question at the top of news and notes before I get into the...
I'll allow it.
Into the trades?
Yeah.
We reacted on air to the Kadarius Toney trade. It was very comical.
Yeah.
Because no one expected this whatsoever. So we had gaping mouths and we were reacting. Did we discuss in detail the dynasty value of Kadarius Toney?
Not in detail. No. What we said was that it's a better move for his dynasty outlook than for his redraft, but we didn't get into too much detail. We spoke of the fact that Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman are on contract years, so those guys could go away, and this could be a future that is more Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney after the trade.
So, yeah, I guess that leads into these other trades that took place. I just was curious what you viewed now that we know he's healthy, that, you know, this year, next year, was just kind of curious.
Yeah, it has to be up. I wouldn't go out of control with that, but the value is up compared to 2 weeks ago.
Okay. TJ Hockenson was traded to the Minnesota Vikings, the Lions. I don't know what they're doing, honestly.
The Vikings?
No. Oh, well, that's why I said the Lions at the beginning of that sentence. I have no idea what the Lions are doing. This trade makes zero sense to me. They traded Hockenson away in division to the Vikings, one of the better young tight ends, for a 2023 second round pick and a 2024 third. So they get one pick in next year's draft in the second round. But they also had to give up a fourth round pick and a conditional fourth in 2024. So the Vikings, they're making their move to compete this year and into the future with TJ Hockenson. You talk about dynasty value of Irv Smith, go ahead and delete it.
Yeah.
And the Lions, well, the implications here, this happened live on the show. We talked about, you know, Amon-Ra, he's going to be a primary target rest of season.
Yeah, he already was, but that's just an extra few targets going his way. You saw his value at the end of last season when Hockenson was gone, you know, Amon-Ra to the sun. So
he is the god of the sun.
Right, yes. Exactly. For Hockenson's value, I think it is mostly just sideways. You have a history with Kirk Cousins of utilizing a tight end as far as his career goes. You saw Munt get in the end zone this last week, and it looked like they were going to use Irv a little bit more, but he got injured. So this is just a team that's saying, hey, we've got one loss, and we lost what we view as an important part of our offense. Let's go do a 2-4 swap, essentially, yeah. and bring in Hockenson, who still has another year on his contract. You know, when I saw this, I thought it must be he's up for a massive contract, and so they're going to get out of that. But you still have some time.
Well, yeah. If you're thinking, looking long term, like Andy, what are they doing? It is next year is the fifth year, so he becomes basically a $10 million player, and we've seen first round picks who are going into that fifth year, they occasionally cause a bit of a ruckus during the off season of saying you need to pay me now. I don't want to go into this year with this being my only guaranteed money.
What I have a problem with is, okay, so they get a second round draft pick. It's going to be late. You probably are looking for a player that might end up like TJ Hockenson if you're lucky, and you're in a constant rebuild. I mean, it's just a constant rolling rebuild of futility. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
But is Hockenson, the impact that Hockenson can make to this Detroit Lions team, is it worth you're going to have to put a bunch of money into stabilizing him as a part of your future?
Well, maybe not, but you get another year of viability from him. And obviously Minnesota, a much more successful historical franchise, found it worthy of sacrificing these assets for him. From TJ Hockenson's fantasy value, you know, they gave up a lot. I don't think it goes up. I mean, I would vote that it's neutral to slight reduction. I mean, they probably neutral.
Yeah, I think it's neutral. I don't see it as I wouldn't move him up. I wouldn't move him down. But who I do move up is Kirk Cousins. This is really valuable to have a tight end that can get out in space. And you know, Hockenson is going to keep doing what Hockenson has done. And what he has done is far more than what the tight ends for the Minnesota Vikings have done this year. So that's just, you know, going to raise the water level for Kirk Cousins and the Vikings offense as a whole.
I think NFL teams are finding it more viable to move draft picks. You know, we talk about it in the fantasy world where, you know, the draft pick in a dynasty league, it's not a known commodity.
Right.
It's exciting. It's fun. It builds in a infinite ceiling for every player you draft because you've never seen them on a football field. And maybe you get the next Justin Jefferson, but maybe you get the next Royce Freeman, the next Justin Blackmon,
right,
the next N'Keal Harry. NFL teams are now taking this approach like, look, we're just going to go get the player that we already know knows how to play the position we need them to. That's what the Bills chose to do by trading for Nyheim Hines. They went and they acquired Nyheim Hines from the Colts. They sent Zach Moss in a conditional sixth away, which really, you know, it's not a lot giving that away to get a player that is proven, trusted, spoken highly of, and can play third down. You know, it doesn't seem like rookies are in a position to be trusted on third down, but Nyheim Hines will go into Buffalo with a role alongside Devin Singletary. They didn't get McKissick in the offseason. They drafted James Cook. That makes sense. But they get Nyheim Hines, and they ensure that they have a veteran in that spot.
Yeah, this is really upsetting for
Jason
anyone.
Jason screamed from the bathroom. Jason was in the bathroom around the trade deadline, and I heard a scream.
Yeah, that's how the news was broken to me.
Yeah, and this was right at the deadline. This one was, you know, I think within the last 10 minutes, right up until the clock strikes midnight.
Yeah, this trade was constipated right up until the deadline.
Exactly. And, for me, this is purely selfish, just like we all are when it comes to fantasy football. I've got Devin Singletary as, you know, my important backup running back, and I think this really hurts his value. Singletary's value has come this season when he is the guy, when he's on the field 70% of the time, when he is involved in the passing game and soaking up targets. That just seems like it's poof, vanished. Zach Moss has been a healthy scratch the last 2 weeks. Now I expect them to have three active running backs every single week going forward. Some of the targets are going to go Nyheim Hines' way. I don't think it's good for anybody. It nerfs the value of James Cook. It nerfs the value of Devin Singletary. And Nyheim Hines is at best a sideways move. I don't think you look at this because he's now going to be, you know, the fourth piece in this offense, and he was probably more valuable the Colts offense.
Can I cheer you up?
I doubt it, but I would love for you to try.
Let me give you the rosier picture for Devin Singletary.
Okay.
The rosier picture is that Devin Singletary was a top six running back three times in the final 4 weeks last year, with a total of four targets between those three games that I'm giving you. So Devin Singletary is a great running back. He doesn't have to have targets to produce.
He needs rushing touchdowns. How many touchdowns did he have in that time period?
He had rushing touchdowns in each of those games.
Which he said zero this year.
He had five rushing touchdowns in four games during that last stretch.
Correct. My point is just that he has the ability to still be a flexible player. They don't have a lack of trust in Singletary.
No, they
have a need to ensure that position is safe for the playoffs. Because if you lost Singletary, think about that.
Yeah.
If Singletary went out for that Buffalo team that is pushing for a title, the favorites, I think, or
by,
up there.
By far.
If you lose him, you are looking at a playoffs with James Cook and Zach Moss, and that wasn't one they wanted to entertain.
Yeah, that's not one you're going to win a Super Bowl with.
Best effort, Jason.
I appreciate it. I need more of it, but what I need to see is I need to see Singletary on the field 70% of the snaps this week and next week. You know, during that stretch last year where he's not the best
pass catcher.
He was
out there almost every play.
Exactly. He was 93%, 80%, 76%. So we need him to be involved. I think with three backs active, it's going to be difficult for him to do, but it's a high-powered offense. So touchdowns can come his way.
He was still a nervous start before Nyheim Hines arrived.
He was.
I mean,
and Nyheim Hines is under contract through next year. Or wait, through 2024.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's got to be the reason they got rid of him.
Yeah, they have him for a couple of years, but it's like James Cook dynasty value. Is that just...
Yeah, it's pooped
on. Is that completely evaporated here?
I mean, yeah, it's really tough in Buffalo anyways to have any sort of dynasty optimism around that backfield when your quarterback's a running back.
A second round pick.
And here's the thing.
Yikes.
What does it do for... The Colts, right? They are in a situation where right now I think we'd all agree they're probably a bottom 10 offense, right? I mean, Sam Ehlinger, the offensive line, what they've done so far. Does deleting Nyheim Hines from the equation give you any encouragement for the, you know, kind of the stabilizing of a passing game for Jonathan Taylor?
I saw you say with this trade that now Jonathan Taylor's locked into a top 30 running back.
Yeah, that's right.
That made me giggle. Yeah, I mean, it should be slightly better for Jonathan Taylor. Probably get an extra target or two through most games. Our one-game sample of Sam Ellinger was
thank
not...
You.
Yeah, thank you. He did not...
Sorry, I pronounced it correctly.
Yeah, thank you. He did not really target the running backs, but too small of a sample, and you know, I'm still betting on Jonathan Taylor to be very good rest of season.
It's too late for me, Jason.
I know.
I wish he was really good for me earlier. Let's take a quick break, and then let's talk about the Chase Edmonds trade. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How's it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, and social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. I said it before the break. We'll talk about the Chase Edmonds trade. I only call it the Chase Edmonds trade because we're fantasy football players. This trade is should be called the Bradley Chubb trade.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Edmonds was a toss into it of sorts because they weren't tossing him the ball often enough. He had been basically worked out.
I feel like it was a salary dump.
Yeah, I mean it was.
It was a toss out. It was like, please take him back so we can go get Jeff Wilson.
Yeah, and the Dolphins making their move, feeling more comfortable with running backs that Mike McDaniel has already played with or coached with. Raheem Mostert going to continue being the lead back, and then they add Jeff Wilson as a better complement that fits his system than Chase Edmonds, who was losing snaps to Salvin Ahmed and Miles Gaskin the week before.
Yeah, Chase Edmonds did not work out for the Miami Dolphins. The addition of Jeff Wilson is interesting. What it will do to Raheem Mostert, perhaps not this week, but it could be as soon as this week that Jeff Wilson knows the system and knows the coach, so he could maybe just go right back, right into his role. But Mostert was getting so much work, and McDaniel has been with Mostert here for a few years now and knows, I can't keep doing this for the long-term success of this team. I can't overload Raheem Mostert with all of these carries because his body is going to break down. So to me, Jeff Wilson becomes probably just an insurance running back, but he may work into flex value, and Raheem Mostert drops probably from an RB2-ish to like just a RB3 flex type of a play.
Yeah, the last time we saw them together, it was Jeff Wilson who was used more in the passing game, running more routes. Raheem Mostert wasn't really
rushing touchdowns
involved in that part. Raheem Mostert was kind of the between the 20s breakaway speed rusher. Now, that was a couple years ago in a different team. So Jeff Wilson is coming in as the backup right now. He's a must pickup, the way that I want to Chase Edmonds on my team, because Raheem Mostert is one play away from an injury at all times. And Jeff Wilson, he's looked good for the 49ers. Yeah. I mean, he's had juice. So he's someone you pick up, you put on your bench, and you hope, if you're a Mostert manager, that he doesn't take the touchdowns and the passing game away.
Yeah, Mostert's been very good. I think a big part of this is the same thing the Bills did, which is, if your lead running back goes down, what are you left with for the playoffs? And they were not comfortable with Chase Edmonds or the other guys. And Jeff Wilson, if he has to carry the load for them because of an injury, capable, knows the system, and it's a good move for the Dolphins. They pick up a pass rusher that's going to make a huge difference, and they end up with Jeff Wilson, and they kind of revamp the backfield.
On the other side, the Chase Edmonds and the Broncos side, I think you're going to want to hold on to Chase Edmonds for 1 week and then probably drop him. We got to wait and see.
They already came out and confirmed Melvin Gordon's the starter.
Right. We want to wait and see if he is more involved than what they're saying, but he's probably coming into the Mike Boone role, which is not valuable in a three-way committee. What he will do is simply hurt the value of Melvin Gordon and hurt the value of Latavius Murray, because, again,
I think Chase, you'll
have to wait.
So that's two weeks.
I am willing to cut Edmonds.
Yes.
Edmonds had more value as the single and sole backup to the oft-injured Raheem Mostert than he has. Even though now he's going to be on the field probably more than he was for the Dolphins, it's going to be irrelevant unless there's an injury there. And then when there is, he doesn't take over full command of being a really good insurance running back. Now he's just in a different committee. So, yeah, I would move on from Edmonds for now. If you need a roster spot, and you probably do, I'm fine cutting him.
There was bringing this up because of, the Raheem Mostert getting overworked, getting a compliment back in there. There was some really interesting talk on Cowboys Twitter talking about, Tony Pollard had just such massive success here as the only running back because Zeke missed the game. And they were talking about, and then Jerry Jones comes out and says, no, Zeke is still going to be involved. Infuriates the Tony Pollard truthers. But then they were breaking down like some of the things that Tony Pollard was saying to the coaching staff of, like, right before he had his huge touchdown run, he was telling me, guys, I'm basically on empty. Like, I need rest. And like, as the game was going along, that they were saying, well, hey, Tony, were you tired by the end? He's like, oh, I was beyond tired. I go out there and keep playing. But it was really interesting to hear, because we look at these guys as superheroes. Like, you're a running back, you're a star running back. You could play a full NFL game and get all these touches, no problem.
Yeah, or like a video game character. Yeah.
And
15th carries the same as the first.
But they run out of stamina. And so it was,
he's never had more than 14 carries in a game in his entire career. And do you know how many he got in that game?
No, I don't.
14. He literally, that was his cap in his entire career, I think, even in college. And, everyone expects him to go out there and get 25 carries. If he's empty on 14.
Yeah, so it was
there's a reason he can run that fast.
It was interesting to hear the behind the scenes of these guys, kind of admitting to, like, yeah, I was really tired. I need other guys out there with me.
All right, help me break this one down. Chase Claypool was traded to the Chicago Bears. This was a big deal. 2023 second-round pick back to Pittsburgh. Chase Claypool, very talented, has had ebbs and flows in the fantasy world.
Yeah.
I want to hear what your expectations are for Chase Claypool in Chicago with the, dare I say, ascending offense, along with how it would affect your willingness to, I guess your long-term confidence and short-term confidence in Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, this one is I think good for fantasy, because Chase Claypool doesn't take a hit down. Even though you're going to a worse offense where you're not getting as many targets, you are now going from the third or maybe even fourth option in the offense to potentially the number one. We don't know how it'll shake out between Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney, who will be the one and who will be the two. I'm not excited. I wasn't previously excited to play Chase Claypool. I am still not excited to play Chase Claypool. But what this does that is good is it really boosts Justin Fields having another. You've seen, you know, some targets, deep targets to Equanimeous St. Brown and N'Keal Harry and
Dante Pettis.
Dante Pettis. And, you know, there is room for Chase Claypool to be much better than them in the same offense, the same system that the Bears are running. Like, you can just swap those players out and go, oh, you'll get more from Claypool than you got with those other wide receivers. So I think this is good news for Fields. But the place I'm most excited about, I know you want to hear about the long-term outlook of Darnell Mooney, but I'm excited about the Steelers guys. I'm excited about the fact that this opens up Kenny Pickett, Deontay Johnson to really just be a two-man show in the wide receiver room.
You would be talking about George Pickens.
Yes. Yep.
I think it's more of an upgrade for the Muth than anybody else for the Pittsburgh Steelers of locking in his target share. For Chase Claypool, saw some people on Twitter talking about what will be interesting is Mooney has been playing a decent amount in as a slot wide receiver, and he really has success as an outside wide receiver. So where Chase Claypool has been playing in the slot this year, and
it will stay that way with Harry on the outside.
Yeah, and does now he move into the slot for the Chicago, pushing Darnell Mooney to the outside, really unlocking him. So there is a world where Darnell Mooney is actually better for fantasy purposes. And long-term, this is very exciting to me for Justin Fields. I want him I think he's good. I want him to succeed. And for Chase Claypool, it might feel like a net neutral right now, but it at least brings you some hope. If he's on that dynasty roster in Pittsburgh, he was never going to ascend to be, he was definitely never going to be the number one. And he was, with Pickens being there, he was pushed down to number three, maybe even four after the Muth gets another year under his belt. So you at least have some optimism that perhaps rookie year Chase Claypool can show back up. It was the sophomore year for him was catastrophic, but it's easy to make fun of Chase Claypool because of the fourth down fiasco, which was a fiasco of I'm going to celebrate while the time is running out.
That was so funny.
But he just didn't come down with 50-50 balls last year. And it's a 50-50, man. Like sometimes it doesn't work out, and it's been working out more this year. So there's at least some hope for Claypool long term.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, and you look at what makes Justin Fields a better quarterback, and honestly, look, they're running him more, but you need to give him big-bodied receivers. You really do. You got to give him players that are going to, I would say, compensate for some of the accuracy concerns that he's shown.
Well, he just loves to go downfield. Like, Justin Fields' favorite pass is 20-plus air yards.
All right, let's talk about Calvin Ridley.
Hey!
I love the tweet, and I don't have it in front of me, so I can't give you credit, but it said the Jacksonville Jaguars have pre-ordered Calvin Ridley for next year.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Ridley is all about this move. If you follow him on social media, he's already got his hype video out there. He is ready for a new start, and he is 27 years old, going to be 28 by the time he plays a snap with Jacksonville. I mean, they have equipped
Shane McHugh, the Jags pre-order Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
Good find.
There you go. Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars have an abundance of receiving options. Going into next year, they'll have Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk. What do you think about this move? Is this a rebirth for the dynasty truthers of Calvin Ridley?
Calvin Ridley's a really good wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't know how in shape he is or what's going to happen when you miss this much time. We don't have a lot of experience of, you know, a year and a half where it's not injury, but it's just a year and a half off from football and coming back. The few examples we have, I think, are usually more at running back, but they tend to come back fine. If he's still in his prime age-wise, I believe this is just a good move for Calvin Ridley. You're going to go to a situation with a better quarterback. And, yeah, we don't know how good Trevor Lawrence is, but we know it's a better situation than Marcus Mariota and the low passing volume and next year's rookie and yada, yada. So this is just two teams here, the Bears and the Jaguars, equipping their you know, their young quarterbacks, giving them more weapons for the future, because Claypool is a future move. This isn't a 1 year rental. They're probably going to re-sign him, and you know that when you give up a two for a player right. as young as Claypool, and he is younger than their current rookie Velus Jones, which is hysterical. You know, I think this is good for Ridley's value, good for Trevor Lawrence's value, but obviously none of it now.
Yeah, Ridley is really, and I don't say this with the joke in mind, but he is a gamble that was worth taking for Jacksonville.
Sure.
It's been years since we've seen him contribute, right? He was really not good before the
right.
Departure.
Yeah, had all of his off-field mental health issues.
So it's a gamble worth taking for Jacksonville, especially when you see what they have to pay in free agency for players. You know, this is an opportunity to get an established player right now. The Falcons, speaking of the Falcons, they have designated Cordarrelle Patterson to return from IR. He will practice today, and he looks at your Tyler Allgeier and your Caleb Huntley shares, and he says,
goodbye.
Farewell, friends.
I banish thee.
So, I mean, we didn't expect this to happen so soon, or maybe we did, but I didn't.
I mean, we'll see if he can play this weekend. That's still a pretty large step for him to take, but it is at least possible now.
Any other news?
No, sir.
We got through it all. Impressive.
Unbelievable
job.
We're
good at this.
Really good.
Great job by us, specifically the three of us. that was today's news and notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Thursday Night Breakdown.
So they're still playing this game? They're going to do it?
Apparently. Okay. It's the best and the worst.
I didn't realize they were going to put this one on. I thought they would just call it before anybody can get hurt. Philadelphia 7-0 taking on the Houston Texans 1-5-1. The DraftKings Sportsbook line
got
is
got that tie.
Sweet Eagles -14. The over-under is 45. That gives Houston 15 points. Brandon Cooks was not traded.
Oh, man. And he is...
he's displeased.
He's not happy.
He's not been good from a fantasy perspective. I think he's still a good player. But when you mix in the lack of production this year for Brandon Cooks, one week you were, I guess, okay playing him week one. 1 week where he finished the wide receiver 14. The other 5 weeks outside the top 38... you mix that with some emotional problems with the team and the Eagles defense.
We did get a report that a trade was quite close between the Texans and the Dallas Cowboys. Came down to the Cowboys didn't like the, what was it, the fully
18 million guaranteed
18
next year.
Guaranteed next year. The Cowboys, not involved, but my take is, Dallas was trying to push the Texans to take some of that money, trying to call a bluff of Houston. They'll fold and they'll do this, and the Texans did not. And now the Cowboys are sad without another wide receiver.
So Damian Pierce and no one else for the Texans offense.
Yeah, and there's.
I'm not playing Brandon Cooks.
I'm not either. We don't know where he's at after, you know. Look, he's a good wide receiver. He hasn't been good this year, but you mix in the kind of mental unhappiness, the whatever's going on behind the scenes where he's being held out of practices, and you know, I don't know if that was because trades were coming, what promises were said. You know, he was tweeting the way that wide receivers tend to tweet, cryptic, angry, you know, at the organization type of tweets. So yeah, I'm off of Cooks this week against, you know, a really, really good Philadelphia Eagles defense. And Damian Pierce, you're going to fire him up because he just gets so much involvement. He's been so good for fantasy. But I don't think you can expect a great performance here this week against a really, really tough team.
I think you should be happy with 12, 13 points. That's kind of like your dream there for Mr. Pierce.
And the problem on the Eagles side, which if you've had these wonderful Eagles – they are great, and you've experienced this all
year.
Let's fly. You're going to have a great first half. And then just turn the game off right at halftime and just say, my game is over. They don't do any of the scoring in the second half when a team can't keep up. the Houston Texans probably cannot keep up.
Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert are all locks in your lineup. So it's not complicated in this game. There aren't really big debates. There aren't start-sit decisions that you're going to have outside of, you know, do you have confidence in Devontae Smith? He ping-pongs a little bit, but I just don't see yourself moving away from him.
No, you've got to start a quality player like that. I mean, I know last week it was the A.J. Brown show, three touchdowns, but...
I got one for you.
It was still 27% of the targets. It was eight targets.
Palmer. You like Josh Palmer this week.
I do like Josh Palmer.
So if you had Josh Palmer, which a lot of people would have picked him up, and you've already got Devontae Smith, is there any world where you're starting Palmer to play Atlanta?
Not over Devonta Smith. I think he's too high level of a talent. The talent gap between those two guys is very wide.
Devontae Smith or Michael Pittman Jr.?
What if I
did this?
We built this city.
Look, I am trying right
now. Good.
I'm currently in trade talks to try to trade Michael Pittman away for Devonta Smith.
Wow.
I have Jalen Hurts, so this is to complete that stack. But I view those two players very, very, very similarly. I think that they're both.
I think that's fair.
That's kind of the tier they are in. If I didn't have Jalen Hurts, I would just hold pat with Pittman. This week, probably go Pittman.
Okay. Into the mailbag we go.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Yeah.
Is it too late to trade Kareem?
Yeah, the deadline.
They can't do that.
No, you can. You can still do it.
I'm saying, you know, the Cleveland Browns.
No, that's too late.
They're not going to do it.
Nope.
You were okay. pretty heartbroken.
I was too.
Because it made so much sense.
But the Browns won. That was the problem. They won their game, and so they think they're in it.
But you're not Cleveland.
No, you're not.
I wish you pain. not the people of Cleveland. But,
no.
I mean, it's a collateral damage. I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, to destroy the team, you destroy the people.
I just want your football team to fail because of what they did to me.
That's right. They did come out and say that the first eligible week for Deshaun Watson will be his first start.
Yep.
Beverly in Michigan. Would you trade Chris Olave away for Travis Etienne in a full PPR league? I love Chris Olave,
but
in a vacuum, the answer is yes.
See you later, Chris.
Yeah.
100%.
Unless Etienne is a luxury at running back for you and you don't have wide receivers, this is you got to go with Etienne.
Yeah, both of these players are awesome. They're going to be great for fantasy if they're healthy the rest of the season. You take the running back. I think Travis Etienne's ceiling is higher as a bell cow running back than Chris Olave's is, even in a full PPR.
Sam in Minnesota, salutations, foot farts. What the? No. Come on, Brooks.
Foot farts?
That's not nice.
That seems pretty on brand for us. So.
I fart a lot.
What would a
foot fart be, though?
We say a lot of poop jokes and stuff,
yeah.
But we keep it away from the brand. And when you combine the foot with a fart, we will not stand for that.
Sam.
Sam Fartface. Sam Fartface. Good one. Very good.
I got him.
You got him.
All right,
really
I feel
good.
Better about it now.
That does feel good.
Sam, I ain't.
Oh,
I am, he says, in a 12-man league with mediocre to bad wide receivers, but I'm still 7-1. I am wondering if I should trade Ramondre Stevenson for Ja'Marr Chase straight up right now. Here's what I'll tell you. Ramondre, I know, is going on a bye next week. So he plays this week. I believe it is the following week that is his bye. Ja'Marr Chase is super good.
Yeah.
He's also not on IR. So I think you are thinking about your fantasy playoffs right here at 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm in the fantasy playoffs and I am struggling with mediocre to bad wide receivers, I am doing this trade.
Yeah, 100%. It's tough to give up a player that's healthy, who's playing great, for someone that isn't. You're going to take some lumps on this for the next month, and you might have some regrets. But at 7-1, you're playoff bound. You can put together a couple more wins even without Ja'Marr Chase over the next couple of weeks and get in the playoffs. Once those playoffs start, you're playing the best teams in your league. And Ja'Marr Chase, as we've seen already last year, he is the type of player that wins people championships. I do the deal.
Yep, I would do it.
Instagram question. Daryl Henderson or Gus Edwards going forward? I think I would take my shot with the Gus bus. Yep. I don't know what on earth the Rams are doing in running back, but Daryl Henderson has been tried.
I mean, yeah. I'll hop in here because I lean on the other side. I lean towards Daryl Henderson. This last week was just not good. He was on the field 41% of snaps, only got the ball four times, but he was dealing with illness. I'm not sure how much that factors in or not. I'm hoping that factors in a lot. And like that was the reason that you saw a Rivers not run through it this last week over and over. Thank you. We've seen Daryl Henderson be valuable for fantasy in this offense when he's got the opportunity. We know that they aren't trading for a Kareem Hunt type of player. It does not look like Cam Akers will play for them again. Cam Akers has said he does not want to play for them again and is hoping for some kind of amicable release, which would save the Rams money. So
they have said that Kyren Williams might play this week.
Yeah, I mean, I would expect it to be a Daryl Henderson, Kyren Williams, two-man show. Oh, man.
Daryl Henderson is not scoring touchdowns. Gus Edwards could. Well, we're in a bad situation here with the Monday night game for Gus Edwards, day-to-day with the hamstring. Don't know if he's going to play. Goes on bye next week. But long-term, if I have to pick between these two guys, it's Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I just can't imagine I can't imagine Gus is active for Monday. And if he's not, you're talking about 2 weeks. You know, it's 3 weeks from now is the first time you're going to be able to play him. Will you play him in that first game back?
Probably.
You think?
I mean,
I don't want to play Daryl Henderson ever, and it gives me the ability to not play him if I don't have him on my team.
Yeah, right. The thing about Gus being out for 2 weeks is he can't hurt you in your active starting lineup where Daryl Henderson is going to do that.
I mean,
a good counter.
I mean, would you drop Daryl Henderson for Kyren in a vacuum? So I'm not talking about the perceived trade value of Daryl Henderson. I'm just talking about, Mike, you are lining your roster up for the playoffs.
It is shooting your shot and a very, very high risk maneuver, but I think I would do it. I think I would do it.
Okay. I got some injury news to catch you up with. It's so good. The Colts have signed Jordan Wilkins off the practice squad. Jonathan Taylor is not practicing.
Oh, come on.
Not 100%. And
told you, man, you got to bail out.
Deion Jackson.
With Deion Jackson, Zach Moss. It's a disaster.
Zach Moss coming over, you know, today.
Total loss.
They've got a bad matchup this week, right? I'm pretty sure the Colts are
Patriots. New England.
Yeah, so they're about as bad as it gets. But Deion Jackson with no Nyheim Hines, Jonathan Taylor doesn't play.
Yeah, I don't know if he's going to play or not. And here's what's confusing to me too. For those following along on the Keenan Allen saga, why do we get a DNP on Monday report?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then nothing. Like, there hasn't been a single whisper. Like, does Tuesday not exist in the world? There hasn't been a whisper on Keenan on Tuesday or Wednesday so far.
Because we don't usually get anything until Wednesday. Like, the practice reports start coming in on that day. The report for Monday was so bizarre. But I think it's more of the absence being so notable that Keenan is still getting treatment and not even participating in walkthrough type things.
It's super cool. Super cool not to have your players.
Yep.
Jeez. All right. Instagram question. We'll close with this. How much dinner butter is consumed on Thanksgiving?
On Thanksgiving?
This is a Jason question.
I mean, that's at least, if you're just talking individually, not family-wide, because family-wide, you're probably talking somewhere in the range of 12 to 15 bricks of dinner butter.
Dinner butter is a brick-based
dinner butter?
Butter
does come
it's
in a
not
brick.
Not in a
no, that's what he's calling a brick.
Yeah,
like butter.
No, well, a brick is in the paper. Then there's tubs.
Yeah, I think he means the paper.
Yeah, I mean the paper, but unlike, you know, a stick, it's not a stick of butter.
It's not a stick.
No. It's a brick of butter. Think about like what you view.
It's like a double stick.
When you get a brick of cream cheese.
They have those of butter?
Of dinner butter. Heck yeah, they do.
What?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this thing, I hope this Thanksgiving season they start coming in the Velveeta brick size. They have not started manufacturing.
Seems like you need a whole new butter tray for this this dinner butter.
Your butter tray is another turkey platter. You bring out a turkey platter. Okay. You put the bricks.
This man loves butter.
Dinner butter.
It's an actual brick that you set it on.
And the truth is, you should consume half a brick by yourself over the course of in not only
rolls,
spreading, but
mashed
in
potatoes.
The cooking, absolutely. When you
more rolls,
get your mashed potatoes. Just put a little slice of dinner butter right on top of that.
The bringing up dinner butter right now is the timing is excellent.
Okay,
if you weren't with us last year, every year right around Thanksgiving, we do our annual Megalodon show, which is.
It is coming.
It's fast approaching.
Megalodon.
It's the biggest and longest and largest fantasy footballers podcast of the year. Last year, or every year, we give a secret hashtag. Last year, it was dinner butter. We got up to what, number three?
Number two. We were right behind Thanksgiving.
Yes. So the number two trending hashtag on Twitter was dinner butter for a while.
That's right.
I'm very excited to make another push here, boys.
Okay.
See if we can get the number one trending.
See if we can take over Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Okay.
With a new hashtag?
Well, yeah, it has to be new.
All right. Well, yes. Dinner butter.
Secret.
Dinner butter came right out of that episode. I mean, we had never heard of it before.
Right.
So it was illuminating. Reminder, we are on Spotify later today, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us there. Never Not Working. Matchup previews. Starts of the week and the Boom Boom Kicker on tomorrow's episode of the show. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Shout out to the Foot Clan over at jointhefoot.com. You are awesome. Thank you so much. We'll catch you tomorrow.
We'll see you tonight, everybody. Party room. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.